So Harold, how would you like to handle this?
I'm Steve.
Harold from AdID. Well, why don't we,
you know, Will, you probably did a great setup right from the beginning, so let's make sure we get your slides.
Yep.
I'll read them the same way you just go from.
Okay.
Just a quick intro. So I'm Steve Davis. I'm the global product team for Kantar Media. And I'm not sure if folks here know the business of Kantar Media. In the U.S., we're primarily known as the business that provides competitive advertising intelligence to the advertising agencies, the marketers, and the publishers, media owners of the world. So across all media assets, what we're doing is tracking the ads and trying to get a pretty good sense for what marketers are spending and the creative that they're saying. So that when folks are either in ad sales or in or media buying, they have a pretty good sense from a competitive lens as to where the dollars are flowing. That's what we're known for in the U.S. Outside of the U.S., well, we do that service in about 28 countries. Outside of the U.S., we're the largest provider of TV audience ratings data. So what Nielsen does here with kind of owning the space around kind of the currency of TV audience measurement. We do that in about 42 countries. So we're pretty well known by marketers, agencies, media owners as a kind of a credible umpire in the space for measuring how the audiences consume media content and how advertisers are being tracked across content, which kind of brought us into a natural position for wanting to participate in the SIM initiative, which is all about tracking the audience and the ads across channels. So that's me.
Yeah.
So I'm Harold Geller. I'm executive director of AdID. You know, generally when Will and I are presenting together, whichever one of us speak first, the first thing that the other one says is exactly the same thing, except for either content or ads. The last slide that was in Will's presentation actually was lifted from one of my presentations, and when Clyde Smith was at Fox, that was a very important point for him. It's like you've got to differentiate between content and ads, but you've got to be able to uniquely identify and describe them. So, Will, you've already talked about what TACSI is, the acronym, and then you've gone through some of this. It's important to understand that one of the things in the design of this watermark, firstly, when we first embarked on TACSI Complete, we said it can't just be something that a vendor brings to market. This was a process that went over a period of 3 years, where we started with about 12 different content identification mechanisms. Whether we had fingerprints, we had a couple of different mechanisms, we had several watermarks. We came down to the Kantar IP, mainly because it was both detectable in line, in the consumer electronics device, and acoustically. And those of you who are familiar with the advertising industry, the Media Ratings Council is really the organization that governs audience measurement and ratings. Media Ratings Council says, in order to qualify for all of the use cases that we're talking about for TACSI Complete, it has to be both in line and acoustically detectable. So the Kantar watermark passed that with flying colors.
You might give an example of folks are watching a sporting event like the World Series in a bar. You can also measure that viewership of that audience out of home viewing.
Absolutely. And we've seen this slide.
We know who these guys are, yes. Yeah. And you've seen from the diagram.
You've seen this,
we can talk about what's possible. So,
so yeah, maybe I can just, we can build it out. This was, I heard a couple of different presentations today, and in many cases, we've got some great technology, but we're in search of use cases. So when the SIM group were thinking about different applications of what the ecosystem could yield if they had this type of technology embedded, these were a number of the different applications that were brought to bear. So again, if you think about the different stakeholders here, sometimes it's just strictly around just kind of tracking of your own asset management system. So whether you're a broadcaster or an advertiser, just being able to see how it's moving through the system is important, but and certainly efficient. But when you start thinking about some other kind of practical challenges that we're seeing from both the marketer and in many cases content creators. There's just, when you don't have this type of technology, there's just a lot of friction in the marketplace to do things that make for great content and user experiences. And I'll give you a couple of examples, and we'll go to one later. But when you have this type of technology, there's an ability to do a lot of second screen synchronicity, where what the consumer sees, because there's a watermark and because it can be detected, you can automatically interact with the content that you're seeing, whether it's a television show, and we've done this with a number of clients in primarily the European markets, but where you can have the watermark on the television program get detected by the consumer's app, right? So whether it's their phone or their tablet, and automatically begin to interact with the live content. Right. So an example that we have is a kind of the equivalent of Dancing with the Stars, right? Where we had the marketer provide a virtual reality kind of headset. So they had goggles where they could see the stars, you know, in full competition, and they could actually dance along with them and play with them because the synchronicity was such to do it. We've got another slide, I think.
Before we move on,
sure.
One of the things, we'll just go back one second.
Sure.
One of the things that's important is, you know, we hear a lot about ACR, and ACR isn't just fingerprinting technologies. ACR is a family of technologies. It's fingerprinting and watermarking. And when we hear people talk about the ACR family of things, you know, when you have proprietary capabilities, those work for point-to-point integrations or point-to-point applications. When you start to look at this open standards approach, and you start realizing that the content is what you're really talking about interacting with or looking at or doing other things with, that those kinds of open standards work at scale. You know, when you're talking about point-to-point, you know, individual point applications, proprietary capabilities work. But again, when advertisers are looking for much larger scale and being able to deploy things across platforms, it's like content isn't consumed on television anymore. Content is consumed on a variety of devices. And having the ability to say, I'm watching this piece of content on my Roku, and the, you know, whatever, if it's a second screen interaction on that Roku, that ad carries that watermark. The program carries the watermark. The idea is it's ubiquitous, regardless of where it is. It doesn't require any kind of special implementations because the content's already got it. And that's the point is, all of these use cases are designed to work at scale.
I think the other thing that's important here is it's an open standard. So what we also wanted to make sure, and this was part of Kantar Media's decision here to play in this, open standard means that we're inviting the development community to build applications around these use cases and use cases that might exist otherwise. So the ability to have businesses see opportunities here and build businesses that might serve the needs of the ecosystem is huge. As you know, I shared about what we do as a business. In this space, we're just the technology enabler. We're not coming to market with a suite of products. We're coming to market with the technology that's connecting to these, you know, the data sets of both IDER and AdID, and allowing the developers to create new product suites. We've had, I guess, since we really started announcing this, I guess, back in the NAB, when we really started the kind of promotional plan, and I can tell you that there's been a number of pretty interesting discussions that we've had from potential suppliers and asset creators on new ways to do it. We're a licensor here, so you know, we're hoping the community is going to find some great innovation there. You know, we were talking about second screen synchronicity, and the other slide that I wanted to share was just another story. So the Dance with the Star is really about how you do second screen synchronicity with live content. What we also can see is just better creative from an advertising perspective. And there are some things that you can do or not do in kind of traditional linear broadcast television that you can do in online. And being able to track all of that is difficult and sort of prevents good advertising from happening. So the example we've had, I was thinking about this earlier, Molly at lunch or after lunch today talked about gambling and advice. This is the sex talk. Okay, so the advertiser here is Durex, and lifestyle brand of intimate products, right? In this case, it's condoms. And their advertising agency out of the UK, a company called The Boss, put together this ad campaign where they had a couple of objectives, but one of them was to drive consumers to their app and to their e-commerce site. They wanted to tell the story that, you know, sometimes it's easier to buy those types of intimate products through an online channel than you know, kind of traditional retail ways, and to have it kind of on supply. So there, and, you know, the other thing when you want to tell a story like that, what you can say in a television commercial is sometimes legislated and regulated. So you couldn't really say exactly what they wanted to say in the over-the-air message. So what they did is they used this technology to sync up where the consumers, and they said at the very beginning, you know, download the app, download the lifestyle app to your tablet or your mobile device. And then when this television commercial airs through the linear channel, it automatically showed the consumer a behind the scenes and a different type of version of the ad that ran concurrently with the ad that they were watching either on television or on YouTube or wherever that ad ran. The behind the scenes one was a little bit more racy, a little bit more risque, but at the end of the day, it was trying to tell the story of, you know, it may never be a great time to be, just when you need our products, you don't have it, so buy it through the e-commerce site, so you always have it. But it's just a great way to, again, I think, kind of make the creative community kind of build and develop better content, whether it's advertising or programming content. So again, just a couple of you know, use cases of how this technology employed in creative ways can really elevate the industry, not just a cost savings issue.
And this really is a very simple three-step process.
And we've talked about this, and Will's talked about this in his earlier presentation, and now we did. So, you know, the first thing people here understand, content has to be registered. Content has to have unique, persistent identification. Whether it's an ad, it's not the LID, it's a long-form content, either. Kantar has built some very simple and scalable products. You know, I've spent some time with the Kantar folks. The watermark embedding products not only are desktop tools, but can be built in a batch environment where you can create watch folders and be able to embed, you know, tons of content rather than having to worry about doing things one-off. And then as you start seeing applications, start to figure out what, you know, what the licensing requirements are, get involved in pilot tests, groups of concept.
And so Sim has done that kind of as a follow-up. So after the standard was approved, you know, we kind of went back to the membership and the ecosystem and started to talk to both marketers, agencies, and broadcasters alike to better understand what they need in order to build adoption. I think what we heard pretty loud and clear was we have to go as upstream, far upstream as possible. So we're trying to work with other suppliers in the industry to make it easier for, you know, our mutual clients to get this technology embedded into their content. So a lot of that kind of pipes and plumbing work is going on right now. But really, what we're encouraging the community is more the business cases and trying to uncover some new opportunities that can save costs or increase revenues. And we're having some fun with it. I think that's the last one.
I think that's it.
We can throw it out.
Yeah,
to the group.
Where to go from here? Yeah. So. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Carl.
And good question.
Hi, Yael Miller from Disney, but I'm actually asking from my viewer hat rather than my day job hat. Realistically, I think we all can experience, have the experience, we were watching something on a streaming online on where there are ads, and you're shown every single ad break is the same ad twice, if not three times.
Wait, Harold loves this question.
So I know Ad ID, the goal is to fix that issue. So looking at where we are now, can you give a realistic estimation based on your talks with industry folks, how many years before I
Oh, please, I don't want it to be years.
We're going to get down to two ads.
Who's had more birthdays, AdID or Eider?
I think AdID, AdID's been around 15 years.
Longer, definitely.
Yeah. There you go. So, great question. We're moving as an industry at breakneck speed into the fully addressable universe, where we used to live in a broadcast world where you assemble a 30-minute show and you had fixed ad breaks, and the ads that ran in there were the same ads that every consumer saw. When we get now into the addressable universe, ad serving, you're seeing the same ads coming from multiple sources. So you might have the first ad in the pod comes from the internal digital asset management system at the media outlet. Second ad comes from an ad server. The third ad comes from an ad network. And the problem that happens is when you're dealing with very targeted situations, you're going to be ending up with a very narrow group of audience to get the same ads. So you're seeing ads back to back to back to back. And the reason that happens is because there are proprietary identifiers throughout this whole thing. The central ad serving template for the ad industry is VAST, the IAB Tech Labs video ad serving template. VAST 4.1 is a new version of VAST that releases next week. We, as an industry, so the advertising industry is getting together, and there will be a call to action to all of the ad servers, ad decision systems, distribution companies, to begin the process of adopting VAST 4.1 for exactly what you're saying. So to answer your question, I'm guessing this is a minimum of an 18-month rollout. If we work quickly, we can get there. But quicker than 18 months is probably unrealistic. But again, we're starting to see content, available content and available viewership scaling in a big way. So this is something that it could happen sooner, but I've been doing this long enough to know that nothing happens overnight. Everybody's got their own product roadmaps that they've got to work with, and everything's dependent upon other elements of the supply chain. So getting a bunch of different product roadmaps to align could take us some time, but that's the ultimate goal. Because at the end of the day, if consumers start to see the same ads back to back to back to back, or see the same commercial pod over and over and over again, they start to ask the question, this is not a great, not an optimal experience. And then we start seeing the consumer pays models on the increase. And certainly we want to make sure that, from my standpoint, the ad-supported economy is important.
And that's a great use case where neither the marketer nor the media owner is benefiting.
Right.
The minute you start doing an inventory of how that ad performed, you see all this duplication, and these meat goods being provided, and you're losing money. Forget about the consumer experience, which you brought up, which is obviously not good. But those are the use cases that when it's causing enough pain, and as the industry moves more to an addressable world, it's going to really start having a financial impact. That's why awareness of these initiatives is so critical.
Any questions?
Great. So if you're a content owner, make sure you talk to Will. If you're a marketer, please make sure you're talking to Harold. Thank you.
All right. I've got a great application.
Yeah.